Imam Hussein alayhi salam arrived in the city of Mecca on the third day of the month of Sha'aban, a day on which many of us celebrate the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but this would not be a day of celebration for them.
One of the first things he did was to write letters to five tribal leaders in Basra in Iraq, who were responsible for the collection of the khums.
In this letter, the Imam wrote, "I'm sending this messenger with you with this letter to invite you to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. For this Sunnah has been killed. The Sunnah of the Holy Prophet has been killed, while bid'ah, while unlawful innovations have come to life."
And at the very same time, the people of Kufa are sending letters inviting Al-Husayn to come to Kufa. "This is the place where we fought with your father. This is the place where we stood with your brother Al-Hasan. Come and join us. Muawiyah is dead. The state is weak. This is a perfect time for us to stand up to Yazid."
Consequently, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam sent his cousin, Muslim ibn Aqil, to Kufa.
"And if they do not give their oath of allegiance to me, Yazid, then do what? Cut off their head and send it to me in Damascus."
Written in blood.
أن الحسين يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Hussein bears witness that there is no Lord except Allah. He is one, he has no part.
Conserved by faith.
"I have kept one for your father, Al-Hussein, but he's much, much more thirsty than you."
Engraved in hearts.
Yazid is evil and I am good. Yazid is batil and I am haq. The only way you'll see this is if I am killed in the desert and I'm willing to go through this.
An undying faith. The story of Hussein. Peace be upon him. On the 25th of Shawwal, Muslim entered Kufa and stayed with Al-Mukhtar ibn Abu Ubaid al-Thaqafi, who was highly respected among his people, a generous man, a man of ambition and daring, one well experienced and determined, and a formidable opponent of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. Other Shias came to swear the oath of allegiance to him, till his Diwan counted as many as 18,000 men, whereas some historians said there were as many as 25,000 men. According to Al-Sha'bi, the number of those who swore allegiance to him reached 40,000. It was then that Muslim wrote Al-Hussein a letter informing him of the consensus among the people of Kufa to obey him and to wait for his arrival. "A scout does not lie to his people. 18,000 Kufians have already come to me. So hurry and come here as soon as this letter reaches you."
Muslim ibn Aqil sent this letter with two loyal followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the city of Kufa.
Now at the same time, you have people, like I was trying to say, people who have a vested interest in bin Umayyah's position. People like Umar ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, for example. They were upset. These are people who lived in Kufa, who were many men. You can't say Kufa was entirely Shia or supposed to be Hussein. I would say the Shia were the minority, not the majority of people. So he sees the situation and people openly now saying that we will fight Yazid, that Al-Hussein is coming.
At the same time, we find that the supporters of Bani Umayyah, such as Umar ibn Sa'd and others, had seen that Nu'man ibn Bashir, who was the governor in Al-Kufa, was not able to contain and challenge Muslim ibn Aqil and the vast support that he had accumulated and gathered. And hence they wrote to Yazid in Sham, and they said to him that you must replace him, otherwise Kufa will no longer be yours.
And Yazid turned to Sarjun and said, what should I do? And Sarjun said that had Muawiyah been there, he would have done what I would suggest, and that is to get Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad from Basra and make him the governor of Kufa. Yazid did not, for some reason, did not like Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, probably because his father favored him heavily. And that Yazid probably felt jealous and envious of him. But on this particular point, he listened to Sarjun and he wrote a letter to Yazid, to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, saying, you hand over the authority to whomsoever you consider appropriate and head immediately towards Kufa.
When Ibn Ziyad received this order, he was in the city of Basra. This was the same time that the messenger from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the messenger named Sulaiman, had come to Basra to invite the people to join Imam Hussein in his mission. And Munzir had just brought Sulaiman and the Imam's message to Ibn Ziyad. So straight away, Ibn Ziyad killed Sulaiman, and then he gave the people of Basra a very threatening speech, warning them not to even think about supporting Imam Hussein.
So he immediately, in the middle of the night, decides to leave for Kufa. And so he races on using his horses without waiting for anybody, without taking a break. And some of his very close friends demand, listen, we need a few minutes to rest. He ignores them, because in his mind, Al-Hussein is at that very time on the way to Kufa, and if Hussein enters, his mission has failed.
And thus, they sped through the desert towards Kufa. And they were riding so fast, the historians say, that Ibn Ziyad's hand-picked soldiers couldn't manage to keep up, and they began falling off of their horses from exhaustion, one by one. But Ibn Ziyad would not stop. Instead, he wanted to go faster and faster to get to Kufa as fast as he could.
It is said that he approaches Kufa on his own from 500. He enters Kufa on his own because 499 of them die on the way. Ibn Ziyad, seeing the situation, seeing now he's not entering with a group of soldiers, he has to be very careful. So what does he do? He dresses in black. He makes his turban like the way the famous men of Quraysh do. And he covers his face and he slows down and he enters very, very slowly.
People thought it was Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The people said, As-salamu alayka ya ibn Rasulullah. And he just waved back without saying anything so that he would not reveal his true identity.
So they greet him, As-salamu alayka ya ibn Rasulullah. And he does not say anything to them. And one after the other, until he reaches the gates of Kufa, the people have surrounded him now. Some are praying for him, some are calling out for him, some are trying to grab his hand to kiss it.
He reached the Darul Amara or Qasr al Amara, and he immediately called upon Nu'man to open the gate. Nu'man ibn Bashir was afraid that this was indeed Imam al-Hussein and he would not do so. But what would happen then is that he informed him that he was Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad and he had this instruction from Yazid in order to take the governorship of Kufa.
The next day, Ibn Ziyad ordered that every single person in the city of Kufa go to the main mosque in the city of Kufa, where he would give them a speech. Of course, Muslim ibn Aqil was very conspicuously absent from this gathering.
In the morning, Ibn Ziyad gathered people at the Grand Mosque. There he delivered a speech warning them against mutiny and promising them generous rewards for conforming. Anyone found to be sheltering one of those who scheme against the authority of the Commander of the Faithful and who does not hand him over will be crucified on the door of his own house.
When Muslim ibn Aqil heard that Ibn Ziyad had arrived in Kufa, and when he heard what Ibn Ziyad had told the people in Masjid al-Kufa, he realized that he had to leave the home of al-Mukhtar. It was no longer safe for him to stay there. Too many people knew that he was there. He would be putting al-Mukhtar at risk, he would be putting himself at risk, but most importantly, he would be putting the mission at risk.
So it is not safe for Muslim to reside there, because if Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad sees him there, surely terrible things will happen.
He decided to move and leave the house of Al-Mukhtar. And he went to the house of Han ibn Urwa.
One of the people of Kufa was a very old and noble man, known to both the supporters of Yazid and Muawiyah and to the Shia. He was one of the companions of Amir al-Mu'minin, but in later period, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad has appointed him as governor of Kerman on behalf of Muawiyah, and he accepted because he was there to do a job. He governed the people in a good way, he was kind to them, and his name was Shariq ibn Abdullah al-Awar al-Harith al-Hamadani. And now he'd become very old and he was very ill. And so at this time, he invited Muslim to stay with him because nobody would suspect that Muslim was there. Now, there and then, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad decided to visit him because he was somebody his father had known and he had known himself and he had appointed him as one of his governors. So he went to visit him, being a sick man, to see how his health was.
Shariq was determined not to let this opportunity slip away. And so he summoned Muslim ibn Aqil and he said, "Guess what? Ibn Ziyad is going to be coming here. As soon as he gets here, I want you to hide. And when he's sitting down and talking to me, come out and kill him. And one strike. As the man had said before, the sacrificial animal has come. Just kill him and then we will have the government without any further bloodshed." And Shariq added, "If you're not sure when to come out, listen for the code words. When I say, quench my thirst, then come out and strike him."
So Hani agreed, and Muslim had agreed, and Shariq had agreed. So when the messenger announced that the governor, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, is entering, Muslim hid, and Ibn Ziyad came in. Shariq was very ill, so he sat next to him, asking him about his health. And Shariq had expected Muslim to come out.
But Muslim ibn Aqil didn't come out. He repeated the thing again, to the extent that Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad said that to Hani that your friend is hallucinating. And Hani said, yes, he's unwell. After he left, he departed, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam came out, and both of them asked as to what had happened, what stopped him from coming out and killing him.
Shariq, at a later time, asked Muslim, "What stopped you from killing him?" He said, "Two reasons. First, one hadith of the Messenger of Allah, narrated by Ali, says, 'Faith stops where murder begins. A faithful man does not murder others.' The second reason is Hani's wife. She pleaded to me in the name of Allah not to do so in her house, and she wept before my very eyes." Hani said, "Woe unto her! She has killed me and killed her own self, that from which she fled. In it have I fallen."
After 3 days of this particular incident, Shuraik passes away and dies. And later on, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad learns of this plot of Hani and Shuraik in order to rid the Kufans of him, and becomes extremely displeased and angry. At the same time, he attempts to introduce assassins or secret agents that will somehow infiltrate the meetings of the Shia and those who meet Muslim ibn Aqil.
And so he summoned a freed slave of his by the name of Ma'qil. And he said, "You, Ma'qil, you are going to find Muslim ibn Aqil." Now, how was Ma'qil supposed to do this when none of Ibn Ziyad's other men could? Ibn Ziyad gave Ma'qil 30,000 dirhams.
So this slave infiltrates Hani ibn Urwa's house and he finds where Muslim is and he hands over the money to Muslim and he says, "I am one of the close Shia, I have become one of your supporters and followers, and I am here to do your service. I will fight if you want me to, I will recruit people, tell me what you need me to do."
And he would report back in the same night to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Therefore, Ubaydullah knew that Muslim ibn Aqil was residing in the house of Han ibn Urwa.
And so Ibn Ziyad by now has a large amount of information. He knows where they meet, who they meet, what they discuss, at which place they meet, who are the chief attendees, what their plans are, how they get their message across, who the messengers they use within the city are, what time specifically they meet.
Now, subsequently, the events were going at a very fast pace. And having recognized that Muslim ibn Aqil was in the house of Hani, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad summons Hani ibn Urwa.
As soon as Ibn Ziyad's eyes met Hani's, Hani knew that there was something deeply wrong. Ibn Ziyad was muttering under his breath, "His 2 feet, his own 2 foolish, treacherous feet have brought him to me." And then he began to recite some poetry. He said, "I desire him to live, but he desires me to die. What excuse do you have now when you fight your friend?" Hani said, "O Amir, what kind of talk is this?" Ibn Ziyad said, "You have been housing Muslim ibn Aqil in your house, and you've been preparing for a rebellion. Did you not think that my men would find out about this?" Hani swore that this was not true. He said, "Absolutely, Muslim ibn Aqil is not in my house. There's nothing going on." The two of them began to argue back and forth until finally Ibn Ziyad stopped. And with one word, he called in Ma'aqil.
And Ibn Ziyad said, "Look, you know this man?" And Hani was shocked to see that this man who had claimed to be a Shia, who was there to support them, who was willing to do anything for them, actually turned out to be one of Ibn Ziyad's spies. So obviously he knew everything. So Hani says to Ibn Ziyad that if Muslim was under my foot, if I'd hid him under my foot, I would not even move my foot for you. In a way, I'm never going to tell you where Muslim is. So there an argument broke out, and one of the soldiers of Ibn Ziyad hit Hani and he split his lip, and Hani was bleeding.
When his tribe came to know that he had been imprisoned, they all gathered outside the court, the governor's palace, and demanded for Hani to be released immediately. The judge, who was Qazi Shuray, the same person who had earlier on testified as to the piety of Hajar ibn Adi in Damascus, was now in Kufa, and here he was representing Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He went to the rampart and addressed the people, and he said that your leader, your member of your tribe, Hani ibn Urwa, is perfectly safe, and I have met him, and he is unharmed. At which point the crowd dispersed and they went away, and Hani obviously remained in prison.
What Muslim ibn Aqid recognized after this incident was the need to rise before the appointed time and the agreement that he had with the people and the likes of Mukhtar. Al-Mukhtar was outside the city of Kufa trying to gather support from the villages and the surrounding areas. Yet when Muslim saw the deteriorating situation, he called several of his advisors and the people who were with him, and the call was made, "Ya Mansur Amit," which was the same call that was proclaimed on the day of Badr, to say that, "Oh, the one who's helped by the Almighty, kill." In other words, fight. It was a call for people to gather, and around 4,000 gathered with Muslim, and they charged towards the palace in Al-Kufa, and they surrounded the palace.
And so Ibn Ziyad summoned 5 of his closest men, one of them being Shimr ibn Dhul-Joshan, la'natullahi alayh, the one who severed the head of Imam Hussein, and he told these men, "You need to find a way to make these people go." And so these men went up to the rooftop. Now the people assumed they were going to surrender, they were going to be afraid, but instead, they looked out at the masses with a deep look of pity. And they said, "We are so sorry for what is going to happen." This was not what the people were expecting. They continued, "By now, Yazid's army is almost here. And you know Yazid's army is not like us. They are ruthless. They will not leave a single one of you alive, and they won't stop at you. They'll go after your women, your children, your property, your houses, everything. Oh, people of Kufa, if only it had not come to this, but this is what you get for revolting against Bani Umayyah."
So the men were coming out to fight, and the women are holding on to them. Their wives, their mothers, their daughters were pleading with them not to come out. Mothers would go out and take their children and bring them back into the house. Wives would grab their husbands and take them back home. And with a period of time, only about 300 people remained. So Muslims, seeing the situation, knew that staying there and then against the governor's mansion was not a good thing to do. He needed to go back and to recuperate, to talk some sense into these people.
It was time for Salat al-Maghrib. The adhan was heard all over Kufa. Muslim ibn Aqil went to Masjid al-Kufa to lead Salat al-Maghrib.
He'd finished Maghrib, and then he'd finished the Isha prayer. He found no more than 30 people around him. As he got up to leave and he came out, there was three people walking with him. When he turned into one of the avenues of Kufa, the narrow streets, he found himself alone.
Here we have Muslim Ibn Aqil Salamullahi Alayhi, a stranger in the city of Kufa, nobody. He turned around, there was no one with him. He walks in the streets, he's thirsty. And he reaches a house where he finds a lady by the name of Tawa, who was a free bondswoman, and she was one who was waiting for her son to come back and was eager to find out what has happened. When he saw her, he said to her, Ya Amatallah, هَلْ لِي مِنْ شَرْبَةِ مَا? Is there a possibility that you can give me some water?
And then she gave him some water and she was surprised to see him still sitting there. Oh, strange man, it is not correct for you to sit here. What will people say? You're a strange man sitting at my doorstep. You need to move on. And so Muslim said to her, Oh, kind woman, I am Muslim Ibn Aqil. She said, you are the messenger of Al-Hussein. He said, yes, I am. She said, oh, come in. My name is Tawa. This is my house. I will keep you safe. So Muslim went in and she found a small room for him to be safe in.
Tawa's son Bilal was in the employment of the governor of Kufa, which is new governor, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And when he returned home, he saw that his mother Tawa used to go into the room and come out more than several times at night.
He kept asking questions. She kept from him the truth, but he persisted so much. She said, I will tell you if you take an oath not to tell anybody. And he promised, and she told him it is Muslim ibn Aqil. And so at morning time, this son slipped away from the house and went to Ibn Ziyad to give him the news, to say that I know where Muslim is. Give me a reward for my information.
So in the morning of the Fajr prayer, they heard horsemen arriving. To protect the sanctity of the house of Tawa, Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam armed himself and came out and to fight. And he fought very bravely. There were 70 horsemen that were sent. He was on foot. He defeated all of them.
And so reinforcements arrive and they're still not able to capture Muslim. So instead of fighting hand to hand, because the streets were narrow, only two or three men or one man at a time could fight Muslim. They started to hurl rocks at him. They started to throw mud at him. They started to attack him from both sides in a way which is really not an honorable thing to do. And Muslims started to suffer injuries, yet they were still not able to capture him.
And he would not give up even though he was thirsty. And finally, a trap was set up for him and he fell onto the trap. And he was arrested and taken to the palace.
At which point he began to weep, and people said, such a brave man like you who fought such magnificently in the streets of Kufa is weeping. He said, I'm not weeping for myself. I'm weeping for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, who's heading towards this, and while you are preparing a trap for him and betraying him here.
He was taken inside the palace and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was waiting there. He did not greet him. He was told, why do you not greet the Amir? He said, وَيْحَكْ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِأَمِيرٍ. He is not the Amir. He is not the commander for us to meet him in such a manner.
And he asks Umar ibn Sa'ad, who's there, who's a very distant cousin, who's from the Quraysh, a very distant cousin of Muslim, to come to him. And Umar ibn Sa'ad refuses, but Ibn Ziyad says, no, go to him, see what he wants.
Muslim said, there are three things that I wish you to do. First of all, sell my sword and my shield. And I have taken a loan, which is 600 dirhams. You should use this to repay back the loan. Secondly, take my body and bury it after I am killed. And thirdly, send a message to my master about Abdullah al-Hussein, about what happened. Of course, Umar ibn Sa'ad would disclose this will to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad.
On the 9th of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, he was martyred and his body thrown down from the rooftop of Ibn Ziyad's mansion. After he killed Muslim ibn Aqil, Ibn Ziyad no longer feared Hani's clansmen. He no longer feared the people of Kufa, and thus he took Hani out of prison, beaten, bloodied, and he decided to kill him too.
And this sad situation is what Muslim wanted to avoid, that Al-Hussein does not know what is awaiting him. And so this is where Muslim's mission ends, and now we are preparing for the departure of Hussein from Mecca towards Kufa.